Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Shane Van Hart with Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Well, I am without my co-host, and we got our wires crossed on time, but he will be joining us later in the show, hopefully before this first segment is done. We have a very special guest in line, and usually Brian and I will banter back and forth, but Ron doesn't have a microphone, so we can't banter back and forth, so we'll just jump on into the interview. We have Carly Fiorina on the line with us. She is considering a run for president. She is a former CEO of Hewlett-Packard. And welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Carly.
Well, thank you so much, Shane, for having me.
So, I'm just going to ask the obvious question. Why are you considering a run for president?
Well, because I think our nation is at a pivotal point. I think too many Americans feel their lives are defined by limitations now instead of defined by possibilities. I think we need to reimagine our federal government. It no longer serves us. In fact, it has become so powerful, so costly, and so complex that it's crushing the potential out of so many small businesses and main streets across this country. And I think we need American leadership in the world. I don't come from the world of politics. I come from a world where results matter, where executive decisions are ones that you're held accountable for. I started out as a secretary, so I've sort of been in and around the economy at many levels for a long time and been in the world for a long time and know many of the world leaders on the stage today. So I think I bring a different resume, a different experience set, and a different voice to the process.
Great. When you said you'd like to reimagine a federal, you know, our federal government, what, you know, in your wildest imagination, what would that look like?
Well, let's just start with an example we keep hearing about. For how many decades now have we failed to serve our veterans? The Veterans Administration is a stain on our nation's honor, honestly. We have report after report after report about the fact that we're not serving our veterans, that, you know, it takes a veteran months to fill out paperwork and months more for a bureaucrat to look it over and check it over, and then many more months to get a appointment, another IG report out recently. This has been going on for way too long. And yet, today, I chair one of the largest microfinance organizations in the world. I can deliver a loan to a desperately poor woman half a world away over a cell phone. I mean, we have to really think about why we are willing to accept bureaucracies where there are no penalties for non-performance, no rewards for performance, no accountability for performance. Big bloated bureaucracies like the VA that are no longer serving those they're intended to serve. Why are we accepting this?
Right. Okay. So as you consider a run for president, what is your timeline right now when you'll make a decision?
Well, I will probably make a final decision and an announcement about that decision late April, first part of May.
Okay. And if you do decide to run for president, are you going to participate in the Iowa straw poll?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, I was an incredibly important part of the process. I'm delighted to be in Iowa now, and I'll be spending a lot of time here. So Iowa voters serve the nation well by taking their responsibilities for citizenship extremely seriously. And I think our nation right now needs leadership, the kind of leadership that understands its highest calling is to unlock potential in others. But I also think our nation requires citizenship now, citizens who will step forward and engage in the political process in a very serious way. And, of course, the citizens of Iowa do that and show the rest of the nation how that's done.
Great. So if you, you know, if you decide to run for president and if you should win, the Oval Office, day one, what would be the first thing you do?
Well, there are many things to do, but I would start by stopping a discussion with Iran, if it's still going on, until and unless Iran permits full and unfettered inspections, and I would reimpose punishing sanctions. I would do what our allies are asking us to do, which so far we failed to do. You know, we've been asked to arm the Ukrainians. We haven't. We've been asked to help defend our Eastern European allies. We haven't. We've been asked to stop talking to Iran, which I just mentioned. We've been asked to provide bombs and material and support to Jordan, to arm the Kurds, to share intelligence with the Egyptians, to arm the Syrian rebels. There's a whole host of things we have been asked to do by our allies to show leadership and stiffen their spines, and we haven't done them. And so I would begin that work. I also would begin immediately a conversation with the American people about why simplification of everything that government does is now so required. You know, crony capitalism is alive and well. Mm-hmm. And every time we put a complicated regulation in place, like Dodd-Frank, like Obamacare, we make it easier for the big and the powerful to get bigger and more powerful. And we make it harder and harder and harder for ordinary folks, hardworking Americans. We make it harder for small businesses and family-owned businesses. We trap them in a web of entitlement. And finally, I would start the conversation about why we now need to move truly to a pay-for-performance environment in our mm-hmm. federal government bureaucracies. Because all you need to do, it's not that they're bad people in these bureaucracies, but all you got to do is sit
right.
in your job forever.
Right.
Not only to get paid, but to get a bonus.
Yeah, it'd be nice, you know, jobs that you could just, you know, you have for life. And I mean, no, that would actually frustrate me, but it's just amazing that that's allowed in government. A question I like to ask all candidates, what are your guiding principles? Where are those hills that you would die on figuratively?
Well, let's start with something my mother taught me many, many years ago when I was a little girl. What you are is God's gift to you. What you make of yourself is your gift to God. Why do I start with that? Because at the core of a conservative philosophy, I believe, is the recognition that everyone has God-given gifts and that no one of us is any better than any other one of us, that every one of us wants to live a life of dignity and purpose and meaning. And the highest calling of leadership is to give everyone that chance, the chance to find and use their God-given gifts, the chance to live that life of dignity and purpose and meaning. And I think that core belief is fundamentally different from the core philosophy at the heart of liberal policies. Mm-hmm. I think liberals believe that actually some of us are better than others. And some people are smarter than others, and that's why some people are going to take care of others. I think that is the height of disregard and disrespect. So at the core of everything that I do is a knowledge that work brings dignity, family brings purpose, faith brings meaning to our lives, and that everyone seeks those things.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Carly Fiorina, who's a prospective candidate for president. Just I want to talk about some of the, you know, the issues facing us today. One issue that a lot of Iowans are concerned about, and I'd say a lot of Americans are concerned about, at least conservative ones, are, you know, is the pro-life issue. Where do you stand on life, and what kind of legislation would you support?
Well, I am a proud pro-life conservative, and anyone who doubts that will remember, perhaps, that I ran as a pro-life conservative in the state of California. You don't do that unless you really believe it.
And, true.
I really believe it for two reasons. One, it's not just a matter of faith for me, although it is that. Every life has potential. Science is proving us right every day. Mm-hmm. And when I met my husband of 30 years, I learned that his mother had been told by her doctors to abort him. She was a mother, she was a woman and a mother of great faith and courage, and she chose to bring him into the world. It landed her in a hospital for a year, but her son was the joy of her life. Her son, my husband, has been the rock of my life, and I think a lot about how different my life would be if she had made a different choice. Mm-hmm. A woman facing a difficult choice deserves always our empathy and our support, mm-hmm. but it's now true that the majority of Americans support, at the very least, a ban on abortion after 5 months. And it's inexplicable to me why the leadership in the House failed to bring that bill forward. The majority of young people support it. The majority of women support it. Mm-hmm. The majority of Americans support it. So let's start with that, because that represents common ground that the American people have found.
Right. So along those lines, what kind of judges would you appoint?
Well, you know, the issue of judges is one of the reasons why we must win in 2016. Mm-hmm. We must win in 2016. And it's why the people of Iowa need to take their responsibilities so very seriously this cycle, as they do every cycle. Because if we lose in 2016, not only is the world a more dangerous and tragic place, not only will too many Americans be trapped in a web of dependence and our bloated government bureaucracies get bigger and bigger and more small and family-owned businesses get crushed, but the court is going to continue to move in a liberal interventionist direction. Mm-hmm. So we need to win so that we can continue to appoint judges who are not people who think it's their job to interpret the Constitution, but people who know their job is to faithfully fulfill the Constitution and who are grounded in the values that have made this nation great.
On the issue of marriage, the Supreme Court should be weighing in here fairly soon. And so, you know, we might have a totally different landscape by the time 2016 rolls around. In Iowa, we had our marriage ban was struck down, or excuse me, our same-sex marriage ban, Defense of Marriage Act, was struck down in 2009 by the Iowa Supreme Court. Where do you stand on marriage? And do you think anything should be done at the federal level?
Well, whatever I think, the Supreme Court is going to do something.
Right.
I very much hope that the Supreme Court will permit us to continue a conversation about this issue. You know, one of the great tragedies of Roe v. Wade is that it stopped a conversation. And it's clear that the conversation about marriage is going on everywhere in this country. It's going on in the church pew. It's going on around the dinner table. And I think we're coming to the point where I believe, as so many other Americans of faith believe, that marriage is between a man and a woman, because only a man and a woman can create life, and that's a gift that comes from God, and the family is the foundation of a healthy society. It's also true that the conversation we've been having is about what benefits government bestows. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the rub comes in. I hope that we will come to a place where we will have respect for sure. differences in views, and we can respect those of us who think marriage has a spiritual foundation, mm-hmm. and respect those who believe that government has to be even-handed.
Okay, great. When talking, you and I have talked a little bit at the Iowa Freedom Summit about education, and specifically Common Core, but in a broader sense, Where do you see the federal role of education being?
Well, you know, this is where I think facts matter, and sometimes facts are sort of left at the doorstep in politics. But I come from a world where facts and results are where you start a conversation. So let's mm-hmm. start by saying that the Department of Education has grown larger for decades under both Republicans and Democrats, unfortunately. And meanwhile, the quality of our K-12 education has continued to deteriorate. What do we conclude from that? More money at the federal level doesn't improve our education. In fact, it may make our education system worse by injecting federal government bureaucracies into something that they don't know much about. Common Core is a very bad idea, because there is no way that a federal government bureaucracy doesn't become heavy-handed. It's mm-hmm. what bureaucracies do. The future of a good educational system relies upon parents having a choice so that every child has a chance, and accountability in the classroom. Because we know that the most important thing in a child's education is a good teacher. So let's continue to give parents and families a choice, as many choices as possible, about how to educate their children, whether that's homeschooling or religious schooling or charter schooling. And let's continue a drive for accountability in the classroom. And the Department of Education and Common Core don't have much to do with either one of those things.
Okay, we just have a couple minutes left, so I just wanted to ask you, Senator Cotton's letter, open letter to the Iranian leadership, is that something that you would sign on to if given the opportunity?
Well, I think it was really a gutsy move to make sure that the Iranians understand that we have a constitutional process here in this country that they need to be aware of and that we will insist upon. My only concern about that letter is I hope that it doesn't distract from an effort that has been going on for some time in the U.S. Senate, which is to gather a veto-proof bipartisan majority mm-hmm. of signatures to send to the president, which in essence, that veto-proof bipartisan group of senators' signatures will say to the president, Mr. President, you cannot ignore our constitutionally guaranteed right to intervene in this process as an approval body. I think that is the best way forward here because no one can accuse that of being political.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we're out of time. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Thank you so much, Carly. Hope to have you back on again soon.
Thanks, Shane, for having me.
You're welcome.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Your well-meaning post just blew up. That friendly debate quickly escalated into ugly insults. You figure it's time to delete it and take a sabbatical from social media. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. It seems that the internet has made it all too easy for people to vent their problems, proclaim their opinions, and draw others into their drama. But don't be so quick to blame the advances on social media. It is something else that's prompting people to pull the trigger on the send or submit button. Basically, this is not an internet problem, but an internal problem. Jesus warned, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Before unplugging from technology, take time to visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org or call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And welcome back to segment two, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need.
And I am joined now in studio by my very special co-host, Brian Myers. I missed you in the first segment, man. I missed you.
Yeah, but your aim is improving, right?
Yeah. So we had to shift our banter time because we cannot miss banter time. It's a very special time of our show.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Well, Hawkeye fans, fortunately, Iowa's probably still going to make the NCAA tournament, but wow.
Yeah, they laid an egg. Yeah. First round of the Big Ten tournament. That was really too bad because the Hawks had been on a roll.
Yeah.
They'd won several games in a row, I think six games in a row, playing good basketball, and then to go out first round of the tourney like that was
ugly. And the Penn State. Yeah. I hate losing to Penn State in anything.
And the Clones, with an absolutely crazy comeback, which they've been doing routinely lately.
Right.
And
they like giving their fans heart attacks.
They do.
I wonder how many, you know, if Mary Greeley Hospital, if they see an uptick in heart-related problems when the Clones play.
Well, what's funny is Jamie Pollard, the AD, you know, with ISU, is in the hospital recovering from open-heart surgery. And so they asked Fred Hoiberg, you know, what Jamie thought about the game, and he says, oh, he probably had another heart attack.
Yeah.
You know, and Fred Hoiberg's probably the one guy that could get away with saying that, you know.
Right. And it's like, he probably shouldn't have watched.
So. Man, but anyway, yeah, big win for the Clones.
Yeah, and we're going to have three Iowa teams in the NCAA tournament, most likely.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's going to be great.
Yeah, my wife and I said, we usually do, we missed it last year, we usually do a bracket. You know, I choose my teams based on rankings and season and, you know, basically seeds and kind of some, you know, I've picked some Cinderella teams in the past and others I've really whiffed on. My wife, she makes her picks based on what's the mascot name?
Yeah.
That university sounds stupid. No, I'm going to go with the other team.
Yeah, and you know what? Her bracket probably looks better at the end of the day, right?
Actually, no.
Oh, okay.
Last one we did together, neither of us did very well, but no.
I didn't even fill one out last year.
Yeah, I usually do better than she does.
Hey, you know what's really cool right now, or I should say not cool?
The weather.
The weather.
Yeah.
Just a week ago, this past Thursday, so whatever that's been, you know, 9 days or whatever, it was, I can't remember, it was 2 below 0 or 3 below 0 when I left to go play basketball that morning. It was ugly.
Right.
And we have had several days of beautiful spring weather. This is awesome.
One thing I don't like about this season is how it's usually really still fairly cold in the morning and then it warms up and it's like it's, you know, my allergy, this is the time of year when I get sick usually because of the up and down. Now,
that's true.
The weather actually, believe it or not, makes a good segue.
It does.
For, yeah, what we want to talk about next. Because I met with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal on Tuesday. And I said to him when I walked
in. Now, hang on here. You met with Bobby Jindal in an exclusive interview.
Well, exclusive in that there wasn't other people around.
There
it was
go.
Just me asking him the questions. That's what I mean by exclusive. No, there was press coming in before me and press afterwards. I don't know who.
Nobody important.
Nobody important.
He saved his best stuff for caffeinated
thoughts. Right, and I asked him probably questions that, well, a couple of questions I'm sure were probably pretty standard, but we got into other stuff that, you know, I'm pretty confident that other media outlets don't get into because I usually like diving deep into policy issues, which is something that, you know, people who ask questions about hog castration devices usually don't. That journalist shall remain nameless. So
that really happened too.
That did.
It
unfortunately.
Did.
Anyway, I said, Governor, it's like, it's great. You're back here in Iowa. Now we got beautiful weather. You must have brought it with you. And he said, oh no, Louisiana governors cannot take credit for the weather because then you'll blame us for the hurricanes. So it's like,
that's good.
I don't think that's going to happen in Iowa anytime soon. But hey.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So good comeback. But I told him that I told him, it's like, yeah, we have, it was hit 70 degrees. And I said, we have not seen 70 since October 27th.
Yeah.
And the his staff, you know, obviously from Louisiana, and they're like jaws dropped, like couldn't comprehend. It's like, yeah, you know, when I was 30s and 40s, we're actually feeling pretty good about that. So
there's still small piles of snow out at our farm.
Yeah, and still. They must be in the shade then. Huh?
And, you know, hopefully today they're going to be history. But
yeah, I would think so. I would think so. So anyway, yeah, I got to talk to Governor Jindal, and we had a good conversation. We obviously talked about Common Core. You know, I think I'm making a pledge right here. I'll do it on the radio. Next time, if I get a chance to talk to him again, I won't talk to him about Common Core, because in three interviews, that's been like the leading topic. And you can only,
so we've beat that drum.
I don't think I'm going to get any more information out of him. And specifically, I think they wanted to talk about it because of the ads that came out that are kind of providing cover for Jeb Bush painting Common Core as a conservative idea. I've got an article up on that at caffeinatethoughts.com, and I encourage you to look at it. And I encourage you to also go check out the Jindal interview. But one thing he did say about Common Core that was a little bit different is as he started bringing up some of the I'm trying to find it here in the content. He said, look at the actual standards. Look at the move away from Euclidean geometry. Look at the de-emphasis on getting the right answers at an earlier age. Look at the move away from the classic texts in the LA. There are a lot of content-specific issues with this. He's the first candidate I've heard who really started addressing some of the content issues with
he's
Common
down in
Core,
the weeds
which tells me he's studying the issue a little bit more than you know maybe some other folks have, because it seems like you know the biggest emphasis has been on just the federal involvement, and I want people to understand.
It's more than just principial here.
It's not just philosophical. While that's certainly, I have a philosophical disagreement with the premise of the Common Core and national standards in general. There are problems. Even if this was a state led issue, really a state led issue, I would have a problem with the content standards because, there's just a lot in there. Some of it's not necessarily the standard itself, but it's how they're ordered and what grade they're introduced or if they're delayed, and again, he brought up the shift of away from classical literature to more informational text. You know, those are concerns. So it raised my eyebrow when he said that, because I've not heard any other candidate talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, and that, you know, with regard to ELA, we also have the issue of a particular agenda that seems to be coming through in some of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, anytime really you have new standards that call for new textbooks, you're going to have this possibility of purchasing textbooks that's a little bit more progressive than the one you had before, because that tends to be the direction a lot of textbook publishers are going.
Yep.
And unfortunately, with informational text, there's just a lot of stuff out there that would not be from the perspective that I'd want my kids to hear necessarily.
And I can't speak to the math stuff. For one thing, math's never been my thing.
Right.
But what little I know about the ELA, the things that we've been told by the folks that we've interviewed, that stuff scares
me.
Well,
with the Euclidean geometry, I'll tell you this. This is a system of geometry principles that the Soviet Union tried and failed, and they jettisoned. Okay, think about that. And that's what we want to do. Been there. The Soviet Union has been there, done that. We got rid of it.
No, there's a lot of that going around.
Right.
Have you noticed that we as a country seem to want to emulate the failed policies of Europe or in this case, Eastern Europe?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Anyway.
You know, another thing, too, another comment he made in thinking in light of our state government. He said, we have reduced the size of our, being the state of Louisiana's budget, by $9 billion. Iowa's state budget is $7 billion. And he's talking about cutting even a billion more out of their state budget. I should have asked because how big the budget is. I think that was 26. Yeah, they cut it by 26%. So obviously they have a humongous budget. But the fact that it's like, that's like mega cuts. Now, I know a lot of that is by necessity, especially with when oil prices drop, they're facing having to make right. some cuts there.
And we're talking real cuts here, not right. just reductions in the rate of growth.
Yeah, right. And I know, you know, Katrina, obviously, Hurricane Katrina forced their hand a little bit too, because when you have most of your tax base that are starting to leave the state, that obviously impacts your resident revenue, and you have to make some tough decisions. So, you know, while, you know, Jindal does get some credit, there's, I think, some situational things that happen that the state was probably going to have to do that regardless of who was in the governor's office. But still, it's still, you know, it's mind-boggling to me that those are some
hats off to the guy.
Yeah.
Hats off to the guy.
Right. And, when we have a governor where our budget has grown every year he's been in office.
Yeah.
You know, granted, we don't have a budget the size of Louisiana, but they have more people than we do. But it's just amazing to me. So anyway, I'd encourage you to check out the interview. Moving along here, and by the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, where Brian Myers and Shane Vanderhart are bloviating about different items in the news.
Is that what this is?
This is what this is, yes. The Iowa House, some good news coming out of the Iowa House for a change. The Iowa House votes to lift firearm suppressor ban. I know the liberal left are probably thinking, silencers, now everybody's going to become an assassin, and they're going to go around shooting people, and we're not going to hear it. you laugh, but seriously, that a lot of people who are against suppressors get their information about them from movies, okay? Suppressors do not silence. What you hear with movies is not correct. It's louder than that. For one thing, think about hunters, okay? If you're going out hunting, generally, say if you go to a firing range, you have ear protection, right? You don't necessarily want to wear ear protection if you've got when you're out hunting, because you can't hear what's going on around you. This helps protect sportsmen and hunters' hearing. So, on one respect, on a safety issue, this is a good idea. But
In all seriousness, I'd be curious to know I'm sure somebody's done a study, with regard to how many dB, a particular firearm, how loud it is,
right?
When it's discharged without a suppressor and with.
Yeah,
you
that
see
would be
the reduction in decibel level. That'd be interesting to see.
That would be. But anyway, I know Matt Winchittle, State Representative Matt Winchittle, who authored the bill. You know, they introduced this last year, and he just had to do a lot of educating with people, even in the Democratic caucus, about how this is not what you see in movies. It's not the same thing. These are louder.
You're still going to hear it.
Still going to hear it. So, but it does help, protect people's hearing. And there's some, actual reasons why people want suppressors. One thing that with this whole story, we're actually running out of time in this segment, so quickly. RPI chairman Jeff Kaufman sent out an interesting statement where he kind of took a ding at Iowa gun owners, and maybe we'll have to pick
the organization.
The organization, yeah. Iowa Gun Owners, and Aaron Dorr, the director. On one hand, I totally agree with what he said, because Iowa Gun Owners has been relatively an effective organization. And that's probably a mild understatement, or a very not a mild understatement, a major understatement. But one thing, I agree with what he said, but I'm not sure as an RPI chair he should have said it in an official statement in a press release. Because, hey, as we heard all the time from those folks, the party's about, fundraising and elections, right? Does that not apply to Jeff Kaufman? Anyway, just saying. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch.
When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Your well-meaning post just blew up. That friendly debate quickly escalated into ugly insults. You figure it's time to delete it and take a sabbatical from social media. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. It seems that the internet has made it all too easy for people to vent their problems, proclaim their opinions, and draw others into their drama. But don't be so quick to blame the advances on social media. It is something else that's prompting people to pull the trigger on the send or submit button. Basically, this is not an internet problem, but an internal problem. Jesus warned, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Before unplugging from technology, take time to visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org or call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Crosswalk Ministries, offering biblical counseling and conciliation. Call Scott Owen at 515-292-7141 or go to www.crosswalkcounseling.org.
And this is our lightning round because we have a lot to talk about. First thing, I want to mention congratulations to Boone. They were selected by the Republican Party of Iowa to host the Iowa Straw Poll. And just personally, I think this is a good change. I think it's good to get it away from Ames. Not that Ames was a bad location, but, you know, if this was a little more cost effective, it's still a pretty central location. And, by the way, in the press release the Republican Party sent out, the Central Iowa Expo, which is kind of on the next to the intersection of Highway 17 and Highway 30, it has the bucolic surroundings evoke Iowa's unique history with railroad flanking one section and corn and soybean fields surrounding the others. You know, just press release 101. Don't include words that your average Iowan actually has to look up. Maybe
are you an average Iowan?
Maybe I am. Or maybe I'm just dumb and everybody else knows what it means. I actually had to look bucolic. Well, basically, it's a fancy word, as Ron pointed out. Ron knew what it meant. Ron's smarter than me, obviously. I'm not.
Well, that goes
unlike,
without saying.
Unlike Ron, I'm not a walking dictionary. So I had to look bucolic up.
I would point out that the location that we're speaking of is not exactly dead center, but very close to where the EF5 Jordan tornado of June of 1976 passed through. Just wanted you to know that.
So, for those of you who are walking encyclopedias of useless information, you can
that's not useless.
You can stow that one away in case that comes up like never.
Hey, so, I do have a serious question though.
Right,
that place is where they've been having the farm expo.
Yes,
and that's great. To my knowledge, there's no actual physical
building
over there, correct?
No, right. It's going to be all probably tents.
But, you have to have at least one very large tent there.
Or they could just, I don't know, they may just do an open field.
They can't do that. I mean, can you imagine if it rains?
That would just be horrible.
It'd be indescribably bad. They've got to have some major league tent that they're going to, you know, bring people into. You know, central meeting place. Now, it's one thing. I mean, you know what it's like at the straw poll when they have it up in Ames. Everybody's right. Got a tent around there. The candidates all do.
I think we should just do like a Woodstock thing. You know,
well, that's what I'm saying this is going to be like if they don't have...
Bring in some bands we've got the presidential candidates. Intermingle them because that will be a lot of fun. And we get this Woodstock thing going on.
That was the first thing I thought of, though, is this is going to be kind of interesting if we get some bad weather.
Yeah, it will be. And that's something that we'll have to ask the Republican Party of Iowa about contingency plans if the weather is bad, because that will be interesting to see how they're going to handle that. And that's going to be on August 8th. That's a Saturday. So that's going to be at the Central Iowa Expo in Boone, Iowa. Moving on, congratulations to Walt Rogers, who authored the ultrasound bill that passed the House. And it was a 57-39 vote, and it had bipartisan support for basically this would require, if passed into law, it would require a physician to certify a woman's medical record prior to having an abortion to ensure a woman has had an ultrasound imaging taken of the unborn child and was given the opportunity to view the ultrasound and hear a description of the ultrasound and hear the heartbeat of the child. And some people, you know, say, well, so what? What does that accomplish? You know, I've talked with a couple different crisis pregnancy center directors, and they both say this is hugely effective in helping change young men, women's and also fathers' minds about abortion. There have been women who have been dead set about getting an abortion. They view the ultrasound, and they change their mind. I think this is, it may not seem like a huge thing, but it's a watershed bill that could make a huge impact on on the number of abortions in Iowa. So good for the Iowa House. Again, another thing we can celebrate coming out of the Iowa House in kind of a strange year.
It is interesting that after all these years that abortion has been so prominent in our country, mm-hmm. that people are still apparently so ignorant about what's going on that something like this would change their minds.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't think that's bad that we're changing their mind. I'm just saying it seems odd.
When they've been hearing from the left, it's just a fetus. It's just a blob of tissue. It's not a child. But they look at the ultrasound, and that's obviously not true. Even in early stages, you can see how this child is forming. And you know, the whole
thing. You just think by now that it'd be so patently obvious.
Right.
But anyway.
And let me throw my own little, you know, useless trivia in there. If somebody brings up fetus, remind them that fetus is a Latin word for little one. Just saying. So.
All right. The next one that we've got on the list is the Alabama Supreme Court has defied a federal judge. Now, we haven't heard much about that. It kind of got buried in the news the last couple of weeks. But the Supreme Court of Alabama, the way I understand it, has told all of the probate courts not to move forward with same-sex marriages in defiance of the order from a federal judge. So I guess right now we're kind of at a standstill down there until the Supreme Court rules on the matter later this year.
You think it's going to matter if they rule against?
Well, I'm really wondering what these guys in Alabama are thinking the next step is, assuming the worst happens nationally, which for me personally,
I have a feeling we're going down that road too, that the Supreme Court rule in favor of same-sex marriage. But I like Judge Roy Moore's statement. He always is good for some good quotes. I can't explain why more than 20 other states have bowed down to unlawful federal authority, but Alabama is not one of them. A federal judge has no authority to overturn a state constitutional amendment in the face of a state court's opinion on the same matter. We got a constitutional crisis here. And it's 10th Amendment. It's pretty clear. And I know there are a lot of people who don't like talking about the marriage issue in the light of the 10th Amendment because they think it's, you know, natural law. It should be a federal issue. I on principle, I totally agree with that.
I do, too.
Pragmatically, I'm not sure that's the route we can go. I think we're going to be in good shape if this still continues to be a state battle. If the Supreme Court does reverse some of these federal court decisions, we're still in a pretty good place. Culture still seems to be shifting this way, but we got a little more time. We can continue to fight. We can still kind of win hearts and minds. There will still be lots of states where this is outlawed. But if the Supreme Court rules, we'll see how this plays out with Alabama. I mean, on one hand, these states could say, okay, federal judges, you try to enforce your own law.
Well, I agree with you that ideally this would be a matter that would be decided for all 50 states.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if this thing keeps moving with the same trajectory it has now, the state level may be our best and last shot.
Right. And let me rephrase, not federal judge enforce your own law, but enforce your own opinion. They don't make law. So, moving on here. With the short time we've got, let's see.
Yeah, we got a minute left.
Hey, yeah, President Obama said he didn't know about Hillary's private emails.
And the hilarious thing here is, guess where he says that he heard about it?
On the news.
On the news.
Right.
That guy never hears about anything until he watches Brian Williams or
something. Here's the thing. He knew about it because he's getting private emails from her on his private email probably. So
I'm just
assuming he has a private email account. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
These guys are willing to tell us anything and assume we'll just swallow it all up.
Yeah, it's like, are you telling
Obama,
me?
Obama, he's either not telling us the truth or he's the most clueless president that's ever darkened the doors of the Oval Office.
Right. Like he's never received an email from Hillary Clinton. Sure. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Your well-meaning post just blew up. That friendly debate quickly escalated into ugly insults. You figure it's time to delete it and take a sabbatical from social media. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. It seems that the internet has made it all too easy for people to vent their problems, proclaim their opinions, and draw others into their drama. But don't be so quick to blame the advances on social media. It is something else that's prompting people to pull the trigger on the send or submit button. Basically, this is not an internet problem, but an internal problem. Jesus warned, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Before unplugging from technology, take time to visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org or call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Shane Vanderhart here with Brian Myers playing the air drums. Fortunately, you can't see it. Actually, you can see it. Go to Caffeinated Thoughts, or go to facebook.com/CaffThoughts and check out the video
You
section.
Don't even know where it's at. I probably went in there and deleted it. How long has it been since you've seen it, pal?
That's true. I will go look and find it, and I think I still have it somewhere on my computer. So if it's been deleted, I will restore it and remove Brian's administrative privileges.
Oh, it's not worthwhile. I can't help it. I got to do something to kind of keep the energy level going in here, right?
Right. Well, yeah.
I drink coffee and play air drums. Right. That's my thing.
Oh, man. I got this. I'm glad this is radio and not TV, because I've got, I don't know, something with my eye. It's like watering. It's like a sieve. You know, I'm just frustrating. I just feel like I've got, anyway, I won't describe it.
Yeah, that's good. We can stop right now with the...
It must be, I don't know if it's just tiredness or probably allergies with the up and, anyway.
I think we should move on.
I can go on.
No.
Okay.
We have now come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know, it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right. This is from the Associated Press. A New Jersey appellate court says a man cannot seek damages for burns he suffered while bowing his head in prayer over a sizzling steak fajita skillet at a Burlington County Applebee's. You may have heard about this one on the news. This wasn't buried off in some weird website someplace. I heard this on the national news, I think. The ruling made public Wednesday upheld a lower court ruling that dismissed the suit. The man... Jimenez?
That's what it looks like to me. Yep.
Claimed a waitress didn't warn him that the dish was hot, but the lower court found the hot food posed an, quote, open and obvious danger.
Okay. Sizzling steak. Sizzling.
Yeah.
Sizzling.
Well, maybe the guy was hearing impaired. Who knows?
It could be.
The incident occurred in March 2010 at the Applebee's restaurant in West Hampton, and Jimenez... said he bowed his head to close to the table, and, kudos to him for that. I like to see those folks pray for their food. But anyway, he heard a loud sizzling noise followed by a grease pop. He then felt a burning sensation in his left eye. That's what happened to you, buddy. You got too close to the fajitas.
Yeah.
That's why your eye is running.
Right.
Anyway... he felt this burning sensation in his left eye and on his face. The man said he then panicked. He knocked the food on his lap, causing more burns, but none of the burns left any scarring. In their decision, the appellate judges said Jimenez described the skillet as real hot and smoking, and therefore the potential danger was self-evident. Hello, you think?
Well, he just sabotaged himself. I mean, if you want to, don't describe it as hot and smoking. If this is Sue Happy culture. I'm glad that this was dismissed. But how much taxpayer money was wasted, as a result of hopefully Mr. Jimenez will have to pay some court costs.
Well, and hopefully he's not, burned too bad, but...
No, I don't, wish ill will on the man.
But I kind of thought this stuff was going away after the initial brouhaha...
with McDonald's
coffee.
Yeah.
Didn't that lady get $1 million out of that deal or something?
Oh, gosh, it's still... Hello. Yeah, if you spill hot coffee on your lap, it's going to burn.
All right, our quote of the day is from Martin Luther. The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship.
Amen.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.